EF United, a premier Cold Fusion conference by TerraTech Programming. Created by developers for developers.
I can start. Well, cool. Well, my name is Josh Adams. I am from New Atlanta. New Atlanta is, of course, the company that makes Blue Dragon. I think I'm supposed to stay put here. I tend to like to move a little bit, but I'll stay behind the podium to the greatest extent possible because I have a camera on me. This presentation today is maybe going to use up the whole time, so if you could do me a favor, if you have questions, if you could hold them till the end, that'd be best. If it's urgent, go ahead and ask, and I'll do what I can to answer you. But it's there's a lot of information here, so it will be best if you can hold those. Let me start by telling you a little bit about me. I am the technical sales engineer for Blue Dragon. My background is as a CFML developer, so I'm one of you guys. I've been at New Atlanta for a short time now, a little bit less than 4 months, so I'm really excited about my new role, getting to work with a bunch of CFML developers. I am passionate about the CFML development community. I'm a past president, the immediate past president, in fact, of the Atlanta Cold Fusion User Group. And if you want to contact me, my information is right there. This presentation, I'll get it up on the site for the conference. You can download it there. If you really want it right now, after the presentation, I may be able to transfer it over to a thumb drive or something like that for you. I also have cards up here, so you can come and grab one of those. I'd be happy to give that to you. And when I'm not down here today, I will be at the New Atlanta booth in the exhibit hall. All right, so today's topics: Windows Server 2003, IIS 6.0, the Microsoft.NET Framework 2.0, ASP.NET, and BlueDragon.NET. That's what we're going to be talking about. We're going to be talking about the advantages of BlueDragon.NET on Windows Server 2003 versus Java J2E CFML servers, that being CFMX and the BlueDragon Java editions. So we're not going to be talking about a few things today, and they are Unix, Linux versus Windows. This talk is assuming that you're already using Windows. That's the choice you've made. You're running on a Windows server platform. We're not going to be talking in this presentation about integrating CFML and ASP.NET code. The reason why we're not going to be talking about it here is that we don't have time to talk about that and what we're going to be talking about. And we have another presentation on that. It's my next presentation. It's the next presentation in this track. It's after launch at 1:45 in this room. We're also not going to be talking about programming in ASP.NET. That's not going to be at my next talk either. That's going to be in Microsoft presentations. They have a keynote today and a session tomorrow morning that's going to be on that topic. So if that's of interest to you, that's what you want to seek out. All right, before we kind of jump into the whole platform we're dealing with here, let's talk about cross-platform. Does deploying CFML applications on BlueDragon.NET tie me to Windows? The answer is no, it does not. If you program only in CFML without using any integration platform features, .NET or Java J2E, depending on your platform. If you do that, your CFML is fully portable among CFML servers. So you can write for BlueDragon.NET CFML code that'll run on the other flavors of BlueDragon. There's a presentation this afternoon by Lori Pacheco, who's in the back of the room from New Atlanta. She's going at 3 o'clock. She's gonna be talking about the other versions. So if you leave here and you say, wow, that BlueDragon stuff, maybe that sounds cool, but I don't want to run on .NET, come to her presentation, you'll find out about our other editions, and you'd be able to write the same CFML and run it on all those platforms. And that's a cool thing, actually, because that means that you have flexibility as a developer to deploy your CFML on Java J2E servers or .NET, whatever your clients want. That could be really huge for some of you guys. This presentation discusses the advantages of deploying on BlueDragon.NET without modifying CFML code. So we're not going to be talking about CFML code today. This is going to be a presentation for those of you who've got great CFML apps and you just want to run them on .NET. We're going to show how you can do that without touching your CFML code. All right, we're going to be talking about some advantages that BlueDragon.NET has. And the first advantage that we just want to highlight is Windows and .NET platform integration. Well, we're not going to talk about that. That's discussed at the next session, as I mentioned earlier. We also have a lot of cool CFML enhancements, and these are not going to be discussed in this presentation either, but there is going to be, for those as well, further information given during this conference. The last session today in this room, Vince Bonfanti, some of you were here for his presentation immediately before this one, he's going to be coming up and he's going to be talking about those a little bit. And at his keynote tomorrow, That's at 11 a.m. It's the only thing going on. It's in the main room upstairs where the keynotes are held. He's going to be talking about those further, so make sure you're at that. And we've got t-shirts we're giving away there, so sit close to the stage, and then you'll be sure to get one, because we don't have enough for everybody in the room. So you'll also see the code better up close. But we do want to note that the CFML enhancements are not limited to this edition, the BlueDragon.net edition. Lori will be talking again this afternoon about our other editions, and the CFML enhancements that we have will run on, are part of the language support in all of those editions. So just be aware of that. Now, here are more BlueDragon advantages. BlueDragon.net advantages, excuse me. Performance, robustness and reliability, and scalability. And these are what we're going to talk about today. And the great thing, again, to pound this home, can be realized without modifying your CFML code. All right, we're going to do a little compare and contrast here. Here is CFML on a Java J2EE architecture. You can see that we have multiple colors in the graphic at the top of the screen. Those represent different vendors. So you can actually see a different color on the J2EE server if you're running on WebLogic, BEA WebLogic, or IBM WebSphere, JBoss, something like that. You can have yet another color up there. And what we're showing here is that you have multiple vendors providing major system components. That is something that gives you increased complexity and reduced integration. And so the bottom line is that lots of vendors equals low integration, greater complexity, and they're not able to see the same gains that you can see in this picture, where you have a much greater level of integration. Most major system components are provided by a single vendor in this architecture. You can see that's the light green color that spans across the whole middle of the graphic. At the very top, you see one different color for the CFML runtime, and that, of course, is provided by New Atlanta. Now, the great thing is, even though that is a third-party product from the Windows perspective, they have architected .NET such that it's extensible easily, and we've just leveraged that to integrate BlueDragon.net into the .NET platform. We're going to see more about that. So what we see here is reduced complexity and increased integration, and we see that I want to highlight also that BlueDragon.net is certified for Windows Server 2003, and that we at New Atlanta are a Microsoft Gold certified partner. There's 150 worldwide, I believe, so that's a pretty big deal. We have access to resources at Microsoft that most development companies, most individuals would not have, kind of have a direct line into there. And it just gives us a lot of resources with Microsoft that are able to make our product better. So something that really is cool for you guys is that we are a Microsoft Gold certified partner. All right, let's talk about the way that BlueDragon.net is implemented. This is what happens when you do the install. This is what happens. IIS web server extension mappings for .cf, you know, star, .cfm, star.cfc are added to the ASP, are mapped to the ASP.NET runtime. We're going to look at that in just a second. Well, ASP.NET mappings for BlueDragon are created in an ASP.NET config file. We're going to look at that in a second too. And then what BlueDragon really is 100% pure .NET managed assemblies deployed in the global assembly cache, or the ASP.NET web application bin directory. It depends on how you do your install. If you do it an install for all websites, it's going to go into the global assembly cache. If you want to install only for certain websites, then it would go into the ASP.NET web application bin directory. So that's standard stuff, and we'll see that too. But the thing to be aware of is that the global assembly cache is where .NET lives, and we'll see that here in just a second. And to that end, let me bring up the first thing I want to show you. I want to show you first these web server extension mappings for NIS for .cfc and .cfm. Now, this is something you might be familiar with right now. You've gone into IIS possibly. You've gone down to your websites, or maybe you only have one website if you're running on Windows XP. And you've chosen properties and you've gone over to the home directory tab and clicked on the configuration button here. And that has brought up this little application configuration window with application extensions. If you haven't done that before, that's how you do that. And if you look down through there, you'll see a whole bunch of different types of extensions are mapped based on what you have installed on the machine. We'll see that for .aspx, which is the main extension for ASP.NET files, we'll see that the mapping is to C, Windows, Microsoft.NET, framework, slash, V2, blah, 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 ASP. It went off of there, but it's to ASP.NET underscore ISAPI.dll. Let's go look at what do we have in here after we've done a Blue Dragon install, BlueDragon.net install. We have mappings to the exact same DLL. Same DLL, right? So again, that's not some, you can go put these in there manually. You don't need to. The installer does that for you. But the key here is to show that these files are being handed off to the same process that an ASP.NET file is being handed off to. That's what we want to see there. So let me actually go and just real quickly, let me go run a CFML file and highlight a couple of things for you. This is a very simple CFML file. It's going to tell us what the time is, right? We're just using one CFML function right there. Can you guys read that? Is that readable? Okay, good. So when I run that page, I'm going to get a very expected output. Right, this is a CFML page, and the time is, you didn't use any formatting functions, but you know, so that's the time. And if I were to go control, okay, yeah. So I didn't enter my license key, and actually, so this is something to be aware of. When you download Blue Dragon from the New Atlanta website, which you can freely do for any version of our product, you can download a fully functional version. It's going to be fully functional for those first 30 days, first month, so maybe it's 31. And then after that, it's going to revert to a single IP developer license. And periodically, when you're using that, a little bit of JavaScript is going to be put into the output stream. It's going to cause that little message to appear. I think it's once every 20 requests. But once you enter a license key, that doesn't happen. All right, so the reason I showed you this is because I want to show you that a couple of things that we're not seeing what we would expect to be seeing. First of all, with a Java-based CFML server, we'd expect to be seeing some kind of separate service running, right? Like you might expect to see CFMX, or if you were running Blue Dragon Server JX, you would see that there's a service for Blue Dragon that we don't have here. There's nothing. I mean, you know, we could go one by one through these here. We don't have time for that. But there's not a service installed on this machine for BlueDragon.net. There is no such thing. And if you look through here and figured out what every single one of these did, you could verify that. But just trust me that there's no such thing on there. Similarly, you don't see anything running when you go into Task Manager. So if I go into Task Manager, if I sort these alphabetically, you don't see any kind of Java thing running, any kind of Blue Dragon thing. There's no process running for BlueDragon.net. All that's running is the W3 worker process.exe. That's what where my mouse pointer is. That's what is used by .NET for for handling HTTP requests. So that's what you're going to see, and all you're going to see. And we're going to look back at that a little bit later. So I'll go ahead and just minimize that. All right, so the next thing I want to show you is the ASP.NET mappings for Blue Dragon and the ASP.NET config file. Now, I'm using ASP.NET 2.0, and so in that case, those mappings are held in the web.config file. So this is the directory where you're going to find that. It's C:\Windows, Microsoft.net, slash framework, and then the version of the framework, and then the config directory. If you go look in there, you're going to find a web.config file. I'm going to go ahead and open that up, and I'm going to scroll down the page until I get to the HTTP handler section. It's coming into view right now. And in that HTTP handler section, you'll see these first three lines right here. I'm not going to highlight them because I bet it makes it harder to read. But those first three lines are the ones that were added by the BlueDragon.net installer. Again, you could come to it by hand, but you don't need to. You're going to see that what they do is for We'll look at the first one. For star.cfc, they specify that the type is newatlanta.bluedragon.cfc/http/handler. And, you know, this is all the version stuff. Our current version of our product is version 6.2.1. And for .cfml and .cfm files, we're handing off to the CFM HTTP handler. So it's just a little bit different from the CFC handler. But once that, where we saw previously that IIS hands it off to .NET, the way .NET knows what to do with the request for these types of files is it comes and reads this file right here. And this is the file that tells it, okay, we got to look for the New Atlanta Blue Dragon stuff. Well, how does it find that stuff? Again, that's in the global assembly cache, so we'll go look at that now. Those are our DLLs. That's what that's specifying there, is that New Atlanta DLLs, the New Atlanta Blue Dragon DLLs, and the global assembly cache. So we'll take a look at that. The global assembly cache, this is going to show you the when it decides to open, all right? It's the location for that is C:\windows/assembly. Now, the interesting thing to note is that this view down in here is not a normal directory view. This is Windows knows when you browse to this that it should show you this special view for the global assembly cache. I'm going to make this full screen here. You can see at the top of the window that we have three things that say Blue Dragon. There's one more that doesn't say Blue Dragon that is also a New Atlanta DLL that, well, I got a little bit off where I was trying to get there. Let me try to get those to the top. These four at the top now, Blue Dragon Controls, Blue Dragon .utils, bluedragon.utils2, and cfx.net. Those are the four DLLs that are installed by Blue Dragon, the bluedragon.net installer. And that's Blue Dragon. That's where it lives. It lives in the same place as ASP.net. Now, you don't see any, or actually, as I should say .net. You don't see anything in here that says .net directly. But see all this Microsoft stuff? That's .net. You've got stuff farther down that says system.net. You'll see system.web. Well, system.web down here is stuff for ASP.net. So that's where .net lives. That's where Blue Dragon lives, fully integrated there. Okay, so we saw here these three things, that we have IIS web server extension mappings to the .net DLL, that in the .net config file, web.config, we have mappings for the Blue Dragon DLLs, and we saw where they live. All right, so that was the demo there. I didn't advance the slide. I want to talk about performance now. The performance is again best seen via contrast or by contrast. So Java/Sun is on the left side of this chart, and .NET/Microsoft is on the right side. So the Java Virtual Machine is a Windows application developed by a third party. The .NET/Microsoft side of things, .NET framework is developed by Microsoft and is tightly integrated with Windows. The Java Virtual Machine runs on multiple operating systems and multiple CPU types and can't be optimized for any one. The .NET framework runs only on Windows and only on Intel CPUs and is highly optimized for them because it's a predictable environment that they are working with. Sun expertise is Unix and Spark. Microsoft expertise is Windows and Intel. So that's the contrast there. Well, where that leads us to is these benchmarks. And this is a study done that it shows some interesting stuff. I just want to take a quick second to point this out. What we have here is J2E Application Server A, and then we have J2E Application Server B, and we have .NET 1.0/Windows 2000, and then we have .NET 1.1 on Windows Server 2003. And what this is showing on the left side is the pages per second that were served by these four different server environments, with everything else being the same. There's three bars for each one. The first is for two CPU, the second is for four CPU, and the third is for eight CPU. And you can see that in each case, you get more from adding CPUs. But the key is to notice that In the case of each bar, you have better performance from .NET than you do from .NET and Windows than you do from J2EE. And on the side of Windows 2 Server 2003, you see that this is for .NET 1.1. Well, I mentioned earlier that I'm running with .NET 2.0. .NET 2.0 is something that does not ship with Windows Server 2003 like .NET 1.1 does, but it's freely downloadable and installable on Windows boxes. And we would expect that there would be even better performance because Microsoft is continuing to invest in making the .NET framework perform better. So this survey was done in October 2002. They didn't have .NET 2.0 to use at that time. Note that these results may not directly translate to CFMX versus Blue Dragon due to differences in CFML runtime implementations. We're just trying to show the differences that the platform, you know, in the platforms, the underlying platforms. A key point here, again, is the improvement in Windows Server 2003 and .NET 1.1 over prior versions, and the fact that now you should see even better performance than that. And note that the Java Virtual Machine will not see similar improvements with new versions of Windows because of the integration difference, the lack of integration, really. We want to point out that there's no always to performance. Do performance testing of your application to determine the benefits. That said, based on our testing and testing done by our customers, most CFML applications will perform better on BlueDragon.net than on these Java J2E-based CFML servers. Again, do your own testing. BlueDragon.net performance is best on Windows Server 2003 and .NET 2.0, on multi-CPU servers. That stands to reason on the multi-CPU servers, but we have found, and the chart there, again, wasn't including BlueDragon.net, but would indicate that the newer generations of the Microsoft products do perform better than the old ones, and we have found that that's true for BlueDragon.net as well. All right, we want to talk about robustness and reliability a little bit. Every virtual directory in IIS 6.0, and actually 5 as well, and probably versions previous to that, I'm not really sure, but every virtual directory is a separate ASP.NET web application. Each website document root is a virtual directory. So we're going to see some cool advantages of that. Well, each ASP.NET web application is separate and completely isolated from the others. That's in terms of memory spaces. Each ASP.NET web application initializes a separate instance of BlueDragon.net with a separate admin console. We're going to look at that and how cool that can be for you for running multiple applications on the same box. You're accustomed right now to having to deal with one admin console for all of your CFML applications running on the same box. Well, with BlueDragon.net, you can get away from that and use one for each application by simply making them their own application IIS, and we'll look at that. From a security standpoint, this allows you to have no issues with application scope snooping in shared environments based on CF application name. I'm not going to talk about that, but just something to be aware of. If you have more questions about that, come talk to me afterwards. ASP.NET web applications can be optionally configured to run in separate processes using application pooling. We'll look at what that is. That's something that IIS enables, and it allows you to really separate things out completely so that if one application needs to be taken down or just goes down, it doesn't harm your other ones. So that's really useful in certain situations. And finally, ASP.NET, really IIS 6, provides a variety of options for process failure detection, recovery, and automatic recycling. And so we'll look at that briefly. And so that brings us to our demo. Let me punch back over to that. So we're going to look back into IIS. Before we do that, actually, I'm gonna show you something that to drive the multiple Blue Dragon admin consoles point home. All right, I'm gonna bring up the admin console for localhost. Okay, admin console for Blue Dragon is always the root of the IIS application. In this case, that's gonna be localhost. Then /BlueDragon/admin/index.cfm. So this is the admin console for my website at localhost. And we'll look over here in IIS and we'll see that this is the main website. And if we go to properties and we look at home directory, there's the local path for that. So that's where we are. I want to just show you that we have that now.cfm page was in there. We also have another page in there called index.cfm. and we have underneath it a couple of directories. I'm going to use those in a second. I'm going to go ahead and browse this page. Now, what this is going to do is, this is going to set, or what it did do, is set an application variable. The application variable is called DSN, and it's been set to main, okay? Doesn't mean a whole lot. I've dumped out the application scope structure, and I've got DSN, main, and then application name is CF United. And I'll show you that code. Let me go ahead and refresh this page. Okay, this is telling me it was already set, right? Let me show you what the code looks like, and you'll certainly understand why it's showing me that. Oh, I didn't put a shortcut for that one on there. That's okay. I'll just go to it this way. All right, here's index.cfm. Pretty simple CFML page. Sets the application using CF application. Name is CF United. Then I've got a conditional. And if the application.dsn variable isn't set, I'm going to go ahead and set it. I'm going to output that the application variable DSN has been set to whatever I just set it to. In this case, I'm setting it to main. You can see right here, okay? And then if it has already been set, then I'm gonna go ahead and say it was already set to, you know, whatever it was set to, which is gonna be main in this case. So that's why when we refreshed it, we didn't set it again. We just saw that it was already set. The reason I wanna show you that is because if we look into these demo directories, I have also in there index.cfm. And I have in each one of them the same file, a file named index.cfm. And let me go ahead and show you what those look like. Here's demo one. Looks exactly the same. Note that I'm setting the application.dsn to demo one if it's not already set. Okay, that's what that one looks like. And then finally, if I look at demo two, I'm gonna set it to demo two if it's not already set. Now, as you guys know, when I run these files right now, the application variable application.dsn is already gonna be set to main. I set that just a second ago. You saw me do that, right? So watch what happens when we run those. We're gonna see that it's already set to main. That's what it's gonna tell us. All right, so demo one, index.cfm. I don't know why it got minimized, that's okay. All right, so it's already set to main, and I can do the same thing. I'll just go ahead and just quickly change this to demo. Of course, I got to put my mouse in the right place, but demo two, already set to main. Now, in a second, I'm going to run those same exact files after I have set up those two subdirectories, demo one and demo two, as IIS web applications. I'm going to see that those application variables are not set because those are new applications. And when I run each one of those, I'm going to see that it's going to set that application variable because those are going to be in different memory scopes. So let me do that right now. I'm going to go ahead and go over to IIS again. And I'm going to go ahead and make this its own application. It's really simple to do. I choose properties. And I come in here and I do create. Okay. I have now created an application with the name Demo 1. I hit OK. And I'm going to see that I have a new icon here. Instead of a directory icon, I now have this little sprocket thing. And I'm going to do the same thing for demo 2. I'm going to create demo 2. Now I'm going to go back over here. Actually, I guess I close those guys. That's okay. I'm going to go ahead and refresh this. Okay? Set the main. And when I come back to my desktop and I run demo one, which likes to minimize itself for some reason, I'm going to see that the application variable DSN has been set to demo one. Now I'm going to do the same thing for demo two. I'm going to see that it has been set to demo two. The only way that's possible with the code that we saw, which hasn't changed, is if these are truly separate applications. And they are. And we'll see that. And we saw that over here in what we set in IIS, right? We set those up there. I want to show you that each of these also has its own Blue Dragon admin console. So I go in here to Blue Dragon for Demo 1, the Blue Dragon admin console, you can see that what I said earlier is that Blue Dragon slash admin slash index.cfm is always appended to the root of the application. Again, the root of this application is localhost slash demo 1. And I should have shown you this a second ago. This wouldn't have come up before I created these as their own applications. If I go into my data sources, I'll see that this has pulled the ODBC data sources for this from the operating system into this admin console. But because these are completely separate admin consoles, I can change these and it won't affect the other one. So I'm going to go ahead, and this is demo 1. I don't need the demo 2 or the main data source. I'm going to go ahead and actually check the wrong boxes, but I'm going to go ahead and remove those. I want to delete those. Okay, so now I can refresh. Of course, bring me back here because this is a frame set. But now I have just demo 1. Well, what happens if I come into demo 2? Am I going to see just demo 1? Well, the answer is no. I'm going to see all three of those data sources. There they are. And I can remove demo 1 and main and just have demo 2. And again, I can refresh that and I'll see that I just have that one. If I go back to demo 1, I'm going to see that I only have demo 1. The other one I had demo 2, and here I have demo 1. And if I go back to my main admin console, I'm going to see all three of them. My main admin console, of course, is here, and I still see all three of them. So this is just an example of what you can do by using your separate admin consoles to configure your data sources differently. But you can do that for your variables and mappings and everything else that the admin console lets you set can be set separately for each of these IIS applications for BlueDragon.net. Don't know what that was all about. Does that stuff look pretty cool to you? You guys like that? If you have multiple applications, you can really, really separate them out. You can use data sources with the same names in your multiple applications that actually point to different databases. So if you had multiple customers that were using the same type of application on your box, and you just wanted to kind of throw it up there and deploy it, but you needed them to point at their own database, each customer, you could do that real, real easily, right? There's a lot of things you could use this for. Want to show you some more cool stuff that IIS lets you do to really get to make these applications a little bit separate, or actually a lot separate, I should say. And one of the things you can do is set things, as I mentioned earlier, to run in different application pools. Right now, even though these two, or actually three, we have the main website and we have demo 1 and demo 2, even though those are separate, if we were to have a problem with one of them, we'd have to take all three of them down. And if I go up here to application pools, I'll show you that they're all in the default app pool. And if I wanted to stop an app pool, which you can do in IIS 6, I'd have to stop all these applications. So I go ahead and I'll hit stop. And now that app pool is stopped. And there's a little X icon that you probably can't see too well. It pops in right there on the default app pool. And if I go back over here to any one of my pages, it's not going to come up. Service is unavailable is what I'm going to be told. Okay. And I can go ahead and start that again. It just takes a second, and now come back over here. And it does take just a brief moment there for the app to be loaded in again, and then the application variable DSN has been set to main again. It's already set. Okay, when I restarted it, it had to reset it because when I stopped the application, it unloaded it. When I go to demo one, and move it to a new app pool, I'll be able to stop that app pool and only that app pool and keep the other applications running. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and go to demo 1 down here. I'm going to choose properties. And the application pool is the default app pool. There's not another app pool right now. Let's go ahead and create one. And let me just show you one thing real quickly before we do that. One W3WP.exe process is running right now. A new application pool will create a new one of those. Every application pool will create a new process. That's how you can stop one process without affecting the others. So keep that in mind, and we'll see that here in just a second. I'm going to go back up to application pools. I'm going to say new application pool. I'm going to go ahead and call it demo app pool. I'm going to take the default settings. I'm going to say OK. All right, now I have that. Now I can go back to demo one, choose properties, come down to application pool, and put it in the demo app pool. I'm going to say OK. We go back over here. We don't see anything yet. And the reason why is because no requests have been made for demo one just yet. We'll go ahead and we'll do that now. This is for main. I'm going to go ahead and do demo one. It's going to take a second for that to load in. Now that's in there. Now let's look at our task manager and see what we see. Now we see two now, right? Each of them having their own amount of memory usage. All right, I'm going to now stop demo one, and we'll see that demo two is still running. So I'm going to come in here to the app demo app pool is really what I stopped. I stopped the app pool, which has one application in it. Stop that. Go back over here. I'm going to get service unavailable, but when I go to demo two, that's going to come up. Pretty cool stuff, right? This is all from the Microsoft platform. We're just using Microsoft's platform, and we're able to have all of our CFML applications take advantage of that stuff. So that's really cool for you guys. You just get whatever Microsoft pushes out there, and they're going to continue to innovate. We're going to continue to innovate on the CFML side. They're going to continue to integrate on the platform and framework side, and we think that's really advantageous for you. I want to show you real quickly some more stuff back in IIS related to what can you do with some of the stuff I talked about for process failure detection recovery, and particularly for recycling. So let me look at the properties here of demo app pool, which we've stopped. But let me actually go ahead and start that one up again. Right click on that and choose properties. All right, recycling. You need to understand this about recycling. What recycling is a warm restart. It comes with no loss of service. So what that means is you got an application, maybe it's eating up too much memory, or for whatever reason, you just need to restart it, but you don't want requests coming into the box to fail. You need to keep those requests being served. Well, you can recycle your process and that will be achieved. There's a number of things you can do to set that up. But let me just go ahead, and before I do that, let me just recycle it manually. I want to bring up the Windows Task Manager before I do that. Now watch, we have, again, just one process running, and that's because let me go ahead and make a request to make sure this is as effective. Let me make a request for demo one. That's going to bring up this other process. We should see. Is that coming in there? Yeah. So that started that new thread. I'm gonna go ahead and I'm gonna stop default app pool. We're gonna work with demo here. I'm gonna stop this. And see that second W3 worker process drop out. So this is the one for demo one, the one I just started. And let me show you what happens when I recycle that. I'm gonna choose recycle here by right clicking on demo app pool. And what you're gonna see happen is you're gonna see a new W3 worker process.exe file pop into there, and then you're going to see this one go away. But they're going to overlap, and that is, if we were hitting this box with requests, as soon as the new one comes in and is ready, it starts taking requests. The other one finishes up the request it's dealing with, and then it shuts down. So watch this happen. See that new one pop in there, and then your other one's gone. And your memory usage is lower, but that's because Blue Dragon hasn't been brought into play yet. It jumps up there. It's still a fairly small amount of usage for a CFML app server, right? You know, it's only 33,000K, not too big. All right, so you guys think that could be useful in some situations, right? Remember, that's only gonna be effective if you're using multiple app pools. You can recycle any app pool, but it's only gonna be effective for, the being able to stop one completely and still have your other apps running is only gonna be effective if you're using multiple app pools. But the ability to do a warm restart is going to be effective even with just one app pool, and you do have that by default. Everything runs in an app pool. By default, there's only one. There's a number of things you can do, as I was just showing you real briefly, to actually do regular recycling of app pools. I'm sorry, I'm in the wrong spot. So I come in here, I go to properties, and go ahead and minimize that. You can recycle worker processes every number of minutes, every number of requests. You can recycle worker processes at the following time. Some people need to restart their application every night at midnight. So what they do right now is they set up a scheduled task to do that. That's not necessarily a bad approach, but of course the problem is while your application is restarting, your requests are not being served. If you use recycling, it's a warm restart, your requests continue to be served. You can do recycling based on memory, maximum virtual memory being used, maximum actual memory being used. So there's a lot of options that IIS gives you. One thing that we also want to kind of point out here on this particular page in regard to performance is Web Gardens. Microsoft does not recommend that they be used, nor do we. So if you have questions about Web Gardens, certainly come and ask, but we would recommend you leave that at one. There's some stuff here you can do in IIS for rapid fail protection. This is on by default. If an app, what we're doing here is disabling the app pool if there are a certain number of worker processes that fail within a specified time period. So if you have an application that just is really screwed up and just won't start properly, if it fails five times within 5 minutes, because I have the number of failures set at five and the time period set at five, it's just going to disable that whole app pool. Just something to be aware of. We have a startup time limit. This is how quickly it must start, or a shutdown time limit. These are all things that can be really helpful, but they're all things you need to be aware of too, because they can affect your applications in ways that you wouldn't expect. So you would need to, you know, come in here and check this stuff out if your application's not starting up like you think it would or something like that. But again, you get to that stuff in IIS by right-clicking on default app pool, demo app pool, any of your app pools, whatever they're called, and choosing properties, okay? So that's some really neat stuff that BlueDragon.net is able to leverage off of just thanks to Microsoft and their platform. I want to jump back to the presentation now, and I want to talk about scalability. A major question when clustering servers is how do we share session data? This is a reason why a lot of people move to these really fancy J2EE servers. And J2EE servers are great. We have products that run on them. But you need to take a look if you have scalability issues. You really need to take a look at the .NET platform, and in the case of your CFML apps, running BlueDragon.net on it, because it provides a lot of options for scaling. ASP.NET supports storing session data in either a state server or a SQL server. So it allows session sharing across clustered servers without using sticky sessions. What a sticky session is, for some of you who may not know, is you've got some kind of device on the front end in front of your cluster that sends requests from a given client always to the same machine. And so the session is actually only local in one of the machines in the cluster. If that machine goes down, that person's session is terminated. If for whatever reason it's trying to do some load balancing, sure, but if for whatever reason you've got, let's say, a million requests coming in and you've got two machines and 500,000 are sent to this one box, well, if those people keep coming back but the other 500,000 just don't show up anymore, what you have is one box that's doing all your traffic and the other box is doing nothing. Now, obviously, new requests will be routed by that load balancer to the idle box, but your load balancing is not as even because somebody in their session always has to go back to the same box. Well, with ASP.NET, you can do session sharing across clusters, and your load balancer can simply send somebody each request to the best box, the one that has the most bandwidth for serving that request. BlueDragon.net can be configured to use ASP.NET sessions. We'll look at that. And that's going to allow for CFML and .NET integration. And again, my next talk, the one this afternoon, is going to talk about how you actually do that integration, how you do that code level integration. But this is also something you're going to need to do. You're going to need to enable ASP.NET sessions in order to use the underlying ASP.NET session sharing mechanisms, all that stuff it can do. You're going to need to have BlueDragon.net using ASP.NET sessions. So let's take a look at that stuff. first thing we want to go into is our Blue Dragon Administrator. Now this one right now will not come up. We're going to be told service is unavailable. Let's go ahead and look at the one because we stopped that application pool, right? That's in the default application pool. Let's go ahead and look at the admin for demo one. I want to point out that you can secure these admin consoles. You can put in a password. I simply haven't done it so that these demos would go more quickly. But if you want your admin console to be secured, and in most cases you do, you absolutely can do that. I'm just going straight in because I haven't set up a password. So I'm going to go here to the variables option underneath application on the left-hand side navigation. And I'm going to see at the very top of the screen that I have an option, or the very top of the, you know, the form here, I have an option for ASP.NET sessions, yes or no. Well, it's currently set to no. I'm going to need to set that to yes. We don't have multiple boxes here, of course, so we're not going to be able to look at this whole clustering. I'm just pointing out that you'd want to come in here and press yes and press submit. I'm going to come straight back in here. If you had a password, you would actually have to log back in because your session would now be an ASP.NET session and there'd be some changes that happen under the covers to enable that. But since I don't have a password, I come straight back to it. Let me show you how do you do this? How do I have multiple Windows boxes? How do I cluster them? What do I do? It's really, really simple. I don't think that makes any changes, does that? To CFID and CF token when you dump session scope when you're using ASP.NET sessions? Right. Okay. Okay, so yeah, ASP.NET session ID. This is Charlie Earhart, the former chief evangelist for New Atlanta for the Blue Dragon product, who's kind enough to come and support us here today. And so he's a great knowledge source for us. And actually, Charlie now works for one of our customers and still active on our community list that we have for people who use Blue Dragon to kind of help one another out. And we at New Atlanta are active on there as well. You can find that on our website. If you have questions about that, come and ask me. But the question here was, what changes in terms of the CFID, CF token? Well, when you dump the session scope, you'll see that it's using ASP.NET session identifiers when you change to using ASP.NET sessions, okay? And that's actually important when you get to doing the code level sharing that we'll talk about in my next presentation. All right, so what I wanted to show you was, how do you do this? Well, previously I showed you the global web.config file, right? That was in this this directory that we looked at in C, Windows, Microsoft.NET, framework, version 2 point whatever, /config. We looked at the web config file there. That's global. You can actually use a config file for each of your applications. So I'm going to look here at the config file for one of the applications. This one's stopped, but it doesn't matter because we can't look at this stuff right now. Anyway, I had it. Oh, apparently not. This is why I don't empty the trash. Okay, hold on a second. Give me a quick sec. Ah, I see. Well, that'd be my problem. All right, so what I wanted to look at, sorry about that unexpected little glitch there. What I want to look at is the web.config file for inetpub wwroot. I could put this in demo one, and I'll go ahead and do that since that one's running, that app pool is running. This web.config file is going to be used by ASP.NET for this IIS web application. Again, remember we have an IIS application for demo for this directory. Okay, so when we look at this web config file, this one can have all sorts of stuff in it. We really don't have very much in here because we're just trying to highlight a point. And the one thing that we have in here that's important that we want to look at is this session state tag within the system.web parent. Session state, I'm able to set several options for the mode, okay? Mode can be in process. Actually, here's the options. It can be off, in process, state server, or SQL server. When you use off, it means you're not using sessions. That's something that some people want to do in their applications. If you're not using sessions in your application, you might want to put that to off. You might see better performance from that. If you're using in process, that's standard sessions that live in the same memory as the rest of the application. So if you stop the application, your sessions will be terminated and you'll have to restart those. When you're using state server, so that's what I'm using here. I'm using the sort of, that's the standard. When you're using state server, what that does is actually you have to give the rest of this stuff here. And none of this matters right now because I'm using in process. But if I were using state server, I'd have to give the state connection string, the state network timeout, those kinds of things. I could actually use state server even when I'm using the same box, and you'll see that I've got TCP IP set to be 127.0.0.1, which of course is this box. What that'll do is that'll hold the memory variables in a separate memory area of the box. And so if I restart the application, those sessions are still going to be up when the application restarts. So that can be really useful. Even if you're only running one box, if you want to be able to bounce your applications and still have people who are making requests into them have their sessions available, what you'd want to do is you'd want to use state server. Now, state server can also be used in a clustered environment where one box has the session information. It stores it in its memory, and that's when you would give the state connection string right here to point to whatever the IP address of that box is. You can also use SQL Server. You can store your sessions. It serializes the data. That's something, again, Microsoft, they wrote all that. It'll serialize your data to SQL Server. And so that is another option that you can use to allow for your sessions to persist even across restarts of the box, right? It's in a database. That's what a database is good for. It's persistent memory. There are some third-party ways you can go about some of this stuff too. I believe you set mode to state server, and then you can actually use third-party products to help you scale this stuff out and sort of let the third-party product decide on the back end, do I put it in the database, do I keep it memory resident, and do some really fancy stuff. So if you have a big clustered environment, talk to us about that, and we can help you with that too. But again, all stuff that Microsoft upstairs will be happy to tell you about, because it's their architecture and we're just using it. All right, does that look like it's pretty neat to some of you guys? Yeah. Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. You can put CFCs in the session scope and cluster it, right? We have serializable CFCs. That's a Blue Dragon advantage. We actually have duplicatable CFCs as well. So when you have a CFC memory resident and you need to duplicate it, maybe make a backup or something, you can do that. So that's some cool stuff too.
Is that part of the job
that does. That does. That's about the architecture of Blue Dragon. So that absolutely does. All right. So just briefly, we're getting close to the end of our time here. I think we have, what do we have? About 8 minutes left. So I may finish up a minute or two early. I'm not gonna go into detail on these things here, but here's some other platform benefits. And that, again, the platform is referring to this whole Microsoft platform with BlueDragon.net running on it. CFML queries are ADO.net, and that's a way that the Microsoft framework communicates with SQL Server and other databases. It's a more efficient and a better performant means of communicating with databases than is ODBC or JDBC. CFML web services are native .NET web services. That could be really useful if you're writing .NET, if you're writing web services using CFML, and you're writing CFCs that you're exposing as web services. Charlie Earhart's the man on that. He's had one presentation already. He's got another one. So if you want to find out more about how to write CFML web services, you want to check out his presentation that's today or tomorrow.
So I'll talk about
Absolutely. Right, so Charlie's talking about CFML web services and how you create those. What we're saying here is that when you do that using BlueDragon.net, you have native .NET web services, and that is something that comes into play when your clients that are calling your web services are .NET. That's really helpful. It's also actually helpful when you're calling from CFML a .NET web service. It's really helpful to have be running BlueDragon.net in that case. Resource throttling is another thing that the platform allows you. Application sandboxing, declarative login security, including Active Directory, performance monitoring, application tracing and reporting, and enhanced error handling. All these things are platform benefits. We can tell you a little bit about it. Microsoft can tell you more about that. If we can't get your answers today, we'll get them for you later. I want to just summarize what we talked about today. We talked about BlueDragon.net advantages versus Java J2E-based CFML servers on Windows Server 2003. We talked about Windows and .NET platform integration and IIS being a component of that as well. Also, BlueDragon.net being right integrated into that architecture. We didn't talk about the code level integration. That's coming up. CFML enhancements also coming up. But performance, robustness and reliability, and scalability, those are the things that we highlighted here today. If you have questions about any of that stuff, come ask. BlueDragon.net benefits that we talked about, the performance, robustness and reliability, and scalability, all can be realized without modifying your CFML code. You're taking your existing CFML code, you're running it on this platform, and these are the benefits you get. And finally, I just want to tell you, before we do our drawing, more information. We have this awesome document. It's called Deploying CFML on ASP.NET and the Microsoft.NET Framework. That's the title of the document. Sorry, it's not easy to make out here because it's all in white, but Deploying CFML on ASP.NET and the Microsoft.NET Framework. It's available on the New Atlanta website. If you have trouble finding it, you know, certainly let any of us know, but if you go into the Blue Dragon section, you go into the self-help section, under documentation, you'll find that there. Charlie Earhart did the lion's share of the writing on that. It's a great document that will talk in more detail about everything that we talked about here today. Now, does anybody have any quick questions? Are you ready to win an iPod? We got one question.
How much application?
It's not, fundamentally. You're going to get the same type of advantages. The question was J2E and setting up different servers on a J2E server. It's very similar to that. So to quickly summarize what Charlie said in case you couldn't hear him, and so it'll get on the audio recording. If you use J2EE, you can certainly set up separate servers for multiple applications. It is very similar at that point to what you get from using application pooling in .NET, but it's a heavier weight because you have to, there's more loaded into memory in that case. It's .NET is actually doing it in a more efficient way, is a quick summary of what Charlie said. Any other quick questions? Are we ready? Okay, one more. Okay, old legacy code and upgrading to using BlueDragon. So they're moving to using BlueDragon.net from, say, Cold Fusion 5 or something like that? Well, yeah, I mean, are you talking about code level issues or just platform issues? We don't really see platform issues as much as we see that. Has anybody ever moved an old application from CF5 to CFMX and had to make code changes? All right, if you moved an application from CF5 to BlueDragon, any version of BlueDragon, you probably have to make similar types of code changes. But when you move an application from CFMX to BlueDragon, it's usually pretty small. Because we do have a compatibility document you can read on our website, but usually your CFML is just going to run on BlueDragon with minor changes at most.
One of the only things that I found when I tried to do this, and we took our application and got it as is, the only thing it took to get it working was that some of the zooms that Cold Fusion allows, Macromedia, or Adobe's version of Cold Fusion, allows you to be a little bit sloppier and do things that are, that some undocumented behaviors that you're not expecting. Charlie directly pointed out that I was using a CF query program type that didn't exist, but as according to the IE, I was using it did exist. So it was coded in there. We replaced those things that aren't actually a part of the language, a particular language, and it started working again. I understand Blue Dragon actually solved this. If you bring anything up where it's an undocumented feature that is the only reason the application is not working.
Right. Absolutely, yeah. We have great support. That is something that is an important New Atlanta focus is our support, and we will if we are made aware of incompatibilities that we just didn't know that were there, we will in most cases be able to address those. All right, let's pick a winner, so you guys can get on out of here, and I don't have to get the CF abort tag shown at me. All right, six. 6-4-4-0-1-4-1. All right. Come on up. Hey, thanks for being here. If you have questions, if you want to grab my card, come on up front. We hope to see you back at some more of our presentations.
Thank you for listening, and we hope we will see you at CF United 2007. This has been a production by TerraTech Programming. For more information, go to www.cfunited.com.